Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, presented by TeeOff.com by the PGA Tour. I am your host, Shane Bacon. Hope you guys are having a fantastic weekend. A lot of golf happening, and as you can probably hear, I'm not in my normal studio. I'm on the road. We have kicked off the USGA week year and summer here at Fox, and I'm currently in Birmingham, Alabama. It's rained a lot for the U.S. Women's Open, but we've still had some great play and threw a couple of rounds. Haven't had a ton of delays, which is nice, considering what it looked like forecast-wise. Looked like it was going to be fairly brutal, but we've avoided a little bit of that, so that has been nice. And, of course, the weeks continue. We got Curtis Cup next week on FS1. That'll be a lot of fun up at Quaker Ridge. And then we get the Shinnecock Hills. And we figured with Shinnecock fast approaching, with the way we've seen Tiger Woods play, why not put together the best of Tiger Talk 2018? And that's what this podcast is. It's a look back at some of the interviews we've had discussing Tiger and the return he's had, the way he's played, and what we hope to see as we get closer and closer to the second major championship of the year. I mentioned TeeOff.com earlier, and just a reminder that if you go to TeeOff.com by the PGA Tour, it's the official tee time reservation site of the PGA Tour, and you can book everything with no booking fees. That's right, no booking fees. Every golf course, every tee time. Plus, as a valued listener of the Clubhouse right here, you'll get to save an additional 25% on any deal time with a single-use promo code TeeOffBacon. TeeOffBacon. You'll save 25% off of a tee time. That's a pretty good price there and a pretty good savings. So check that out at TeeOff.com, presented by the PGA Tour. As I mentioned, this is going to be some Tiger talk. It's going to be different interviews throughout the year we've had with different players, analysts, and such. And it's going to be interesting to listen to. When you start out, everybody was a little bit scared to dive into Tiger. We just wanted to see the guy healthy. And as it progressed, we're thinking, oh my God, this guy actually might win a golf tournament. This is pretty exciting stuff. So I hope you enjoy this. We've got some podcasts lined up over the next few weeks with some big-time guests, some interesting authors, and other stuff, so I hope you guys are excited about that. As I mentioned, this is my busy time, so I'm trying to squeeze these things in when I can. Obviously, I've got a day job where I have to broadcast golf for 5 hours, so, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to stick in a podcast, but I try to do it for you guys, so stay patient. You'll get some good stuff over the next few weeks, and as I mentioned, it is summer, and with summer here, that means vacation and travel, and nothing worse than heading out on a trip and realizing you forgot something important. So what do? You switch to an Ogio bag. That's what all Ogio travel bags come with, their signature thoughtful organization. So you have a place to put all your most important things. Add in smart features like separated pockets for dirty clothes and a dedicated place for your shoes. Now your life is easier when you get home, too. I'm using my Ogio travel bag. I have to. I have so much stuff. I'm the worst packer on the planet, I've decided. I think I brought 12 pairs of shorts on this three-week trip, and I haven't worn one pair of shorts yet because we wear pants at work. So good on me. Luckily, Ogio tries to make it a little bit easier on me, even if I'm a complete dope. So go to Ogio.com, celebrate back to summer by saving 25% on all their travel bags at Ogio.com with the promo code Clubhouse. Ogio, the world's best bags. Okay, let's get to the first of our Tiger Heavy podcast recap. And we welcome back into the Clubhouse, one of my favorite journalists in golf, but now is going to be a TV face, not just print. Jaime Diaz. Jaime, I wanted to talk just Tiger, you know, coming back again. This time he's doing it, I'd say, the quote-unquote right way. I mean, he's going to play that California swing back-to-back weeks at the Farmers Insurance and the Genesis Open. How happy were you when you read that and you realized he wasn't going to be doing the 15-hour flight and trying to go do the appearance fee side of golf? I mean, how pumped were you when you saw he made this decision that I think a lot of people hoped he would do over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, last year was a weird moment because he played okay at the Bahamas. He looked okay, and then, man, he had this hugely ambitious, very intense travel schedule, and, you know, it flamed out after one tournament. I don't know what he was – I mean, Tiger doesn't make too many, I don't think, miscalculations when it comes to golf. I know he's had a hard time – these last 6-7 years, but generally he's very, you know, sort of disciplined about that. That seemed like just a weird miscalculation. But so I'm just happy that that fusion really went well. And I think there was a lot of doubt that it would. It sounded like a career ender. I mean, fusion, right? Very few golfers have had fusions. But, you know, I was fortunate to talk to some that have had them. And like Retief Goosen, his vertebrae, the ones that hit his were one vertebrae up from Tiger. And he said, And Trevino said that he got these things called X stops, which are steel spacers that they put in, and it's similar to a fusion because it immobilized the back. And Lanny Watkins had a fusion higher than Tiger's. All three of these guys said immediately the pain was gone. I couldn't wait to go out and hit balls. And I think that was underplayed, you know, because Tiger's got his recent past has been so full of disappointing moments physically, you know, these high hopes and then, oh, I got hurt. And so there was a feeling like, well, Tiger's going to break down. And maybe he will. But it sounds like that fusion thing was way different than those discectomies. Those discectomies are sort of partial fixes, and they kind of work, and they're more like Band-Aids. This thing is like kind of all or nothing, you know, but it definitely the nerve pain is gone because there's nothing, there's no nerve anymore. You just got a bunch of artificial material in there. And so if he doesn't have any pain and he could move like he moved at the Hero, to me, I mean, he can play, I don't know, of course, but my sense is, my feeling just instinctively is he looks good and he can play again. Now, will the short game hold up? That's not a physical thing necessarily. If that holds up and his swing is like it is at Bahamas, I think he's back to right at the top of the game. And maybe that sounds naive, and it's not, I don't think, because I'm, you know, like so anxious for Tiger to get back. I think Tiger doesn't have anything to prove, and he could stop right now, and his place in history is secure. But I don't know. I just know he's still, you know, got an incredible amount of drive, and I know it. I say it. I think it. I don't know it. But, you know, incredible amount of drive, and the body still looks like the talent's in there physically. So I'm just waiting. Let's see what happens.
I'm just 2 weeks.
I don't think he's got to moderate if he feels good. I mean, he's going to moderate because, obviously, you know, doctors are telling him, you know, this was not necessarily something you get over immediately. But all I know is Trevino never had another problem. Lanny never had another problem. Goosen's never had another problem. Goosen just said, I can't play anymore. I can't putt. But physically, these guys all, they lost very little range of motion, which is, you know, the fusion thing is what people assume. Well, you know, you can't turn as much. It's maybe like an inch. I mean, Tiger's turn didn't look any smaller to me. So I don't know. I have very high hopes that Tiger's going to be really, really good again. And maybe, honestly, if everything is whole, let's just say he's whole, for sake of, in other words, he's 42, but he's still got his talent. And the only mitigating factor is that he's 42. I still think he's the best player in the world.
Wow.
I still think, I mean, that's a big bunch of ifs and a bunch of conditions. But I don't think 42 in Tiger's case means he's lost anything. Except, you know, who knows, maybe a little nerve, maybe a little distance. But, you know, he was just, ball speed was 180. I didn't see any 180s at Kapalua.
Right.
I saw somebody crush one, and, you know, John Rahm's was 176. So, you know, Tiger's got, I don't know, all the components are there if he pulls it together. You know, he's had so much bad luck these last 6-7 years. If he's due for some, like, everything just falling into place. And if that Rubik's Cube clicks, I'm telling you, I just think he's as good as ever.
Let's take a quick break in the action to bring you a couple of sponsors. First, Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll admit that we often go overboard with our limited time offerings. We just can't help ourselves. Take the new signature sampler. For $15, you get wings and three shareable options like fried pickles or cheese curds. Cheese curds would have been helpful last year at Erin Hills. There's aptly named over-the-top nachos, little mountain of crispy tortilla chips loaded with your choice of pulled pork or honey barbecue, grilled chicken, corn, jalapenos. Man, I am hungry. Top all that off with a platinum margarita. Go overboard with us today at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. And we welcome back into the clubhouse one of my favorite guests always, Kevin Van Valkenburg from ESPN.com. You can follow him as of now on Twitter at K Van Valkenburg. That's B-U-R-G at the end. And KVV, you were out at Riviera today. You got a chance to follow Tiger Woods around. When is the last time you got to see Tiger play a competitive round before this Thursday?
Whew. I would say that it was a sad, nondescript round at Whistling Straits in the PGA Championship.
So that was
the last time I saw him in person. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you
15?
Know. Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, that was the last time we saw. I mean, that was Jason Day, and that was Jason Day versus Spieth. I mean, you know, this is a guy that you know, we've talked about a return. You and I've talked about a return on this podcast before. You got a chance to walk all 18 holes with them today. I just wanted to say, first off, what were your thoughts? I mean, we know what a score was. What were your thoughts seeing him play, you know, 10 through 9 at Riviera?
You know, I think the driver is still kind of a mess. I think he thinks it's a little bit better than it really is. You know, he was sort of talking about how he just needed to trust that he could just go really hard at it every time. But, you know, he went hard at it on 9, which was his 18th today, and was over in the fairway bunker on 10. I mean, it was a horrid miss, right? And there was a couple that were just awful. I kind of wonder, and this is a rooty thing to throw right out off the top, but I kind of think their driver yips might be in play here, that is a legitimate thing. Let's keep that in mind as the year goes on. And I'll come back on this podcast and we'll assess. But I think that we might be talking about the driver yips throughout the year. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know that it's quite the rust that he thinks it is. It's just, for some reason, he gets totally out of tempo when the ball's up on a tee, and he can't quite swing the way he wants. You know, we're talking, he hit 8 fairways today, but he hit a couple 3-woods. He hit some monster 3-woods. The Friday, Andy Johnson and I were talking about, why doesn't he just hit 3-wood for a while until he really finds a place where he can trust the driver? But I'm just not sure. I don't know if the driver's ever going to be really fixed. We might be looking at a Phil driver type driving career the rest of the time we have him out here.
Well, you know, the thing that he did do today well, and he even mentioned this in his Golf Channel interview after, was he was missing it one way. I mean, this is what they always talk about, right? The pros talk about they want to take one side of the golf course out of play. Tiger's infamously always try to take that left side out. He wants to hit it right and block it right if he's going to miss it. But it is interesting. You talk about the driving yips, because the tee shot he hit at 5, that iron he hit off the tee there at 5, and I mean, you know, the camera angle was behind him, but it looked like he pull sliced it. I mean, it looked like it was a intended stinger that he almost came over the top and was trying to correct. And the announcers even mentioned it looked like he kind of flinched on it a little bit. You know, that is a golf shot that you're pulling a long iron out, and you're expecting, obviously, to just poke it down there in the fairway and have a 8-iron in, and that's what you're trying to do. Did it seem like when it was on a peg, no matter what the club was, it felt uncomfortable, or did it simply seem like he looked uncomfortable when it was the driver?
It did seem a little bit like when it was on a peg, it felt uncomfortable. I mean, he had a couple on one of the par threes where he sort of blocked it right, where the beautiful par three that's like the shorty, I forget which one it is, 15 or something, but I don't know. It just, something about it doesn't really feel uncomfortable. I mean, I thought that stinger was going to hit somebody in the head. It was really pull yanked. And he was like, oh, you know, I just caught the tree and I was annoyed. No, that, even if that tree wasn't there, that ball was going into the deep hay.
Right.
And he made a pretty good swing to sort of gouge it out there and give himself a chance to get up and down, but it was ugly. And so I don't know whether that's just the kind of competitive juices flowing, the feeling of, you know, maybe I'm not hitting down as much on it, or, you know, I don't know. But it's, I will say, we didn't see any, like, any hesitation over any chips, any look where he was feeling uncomfortable. And I think we can kind of put the chipping yips to bed, right? I mean,
right.
That seems like forever ago. And his short game continues to be really, really good. I mean, he hit a flop shot today after missing the green once. It was unbelievable. He had a great bunker shot to save a par. I mean, I feel like if he can sort of, you know, he's still like such a smart like tactician and such a sort of like grinder. It's kind of the opposite of Rory. It's, you know, you see Rory miss a shot, kind of lose focus and get pissed, and then have to sort of, you know, reset. And Tiger never really seems like he's out of it. He's going to sort of, you know, it's sort of cliche to say, but he's going to fight to get those pars, and he's going to end up with more of them than not. And that's a good sign, right? That's how today could have easily been a 75, and he turned it into 72.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it on Twitter, and your colleague Bob Herrig mentioned, you know, one of his most underrated qualities is his ability to grind out a round. I mean, he grinded this round out. It could have got away, made some seriously important up and downs for pars. And when the ball is in play, he made birdies. I mean, that's what he's been doing. You know, he started off with a great birdie at 10. We saw him make a couple of birdies on par fives. I mean, it seems like when it's in a good position, he feels comfortable attacking, and he feels comfortable rolling putts in, and that's a good sign. That's the good stuff. It's just like you said, you know, when you're flailing drives high right all day long, you're going to make bogeys at a place like Riviera and at a place that we are going to circle back on with Tiger Woods, which are the major championships. You know, when you miss drives 15, 20, 30 yards right, you either are not going to find them or they're going to be in stuff you have to chip out sideways. I mean, you know, that again seems to be the problem with Tiger. And of course, I mean, listen, this is what, his fifth round back, you know, in 2018. I mean, maybe he will get it figured out. But this isn't the first instance of Tiger struggling with his driver. I mean, he wasn't a great driver of the golf ball his entire career. I mean, you go back to looking at the way he swung at it in his prime. I mean, you'd see him miss some big, big golf shots. Think about the tee shot at Valhalla. You know, he needs to find the fairway, and he snap hooks that thing 100 yards left of the fairway and was able to make birdie. He could recover, but right now he's leaning so much on his recovery game to get it around and one over par.
Yeah, think about like at the U.S. Open where he played, you know, Pebble, played the greatest golf of his entire life, and he still snap hooked that one in the ocean on the
right.
Saturday morning broadcast and dropped about 7 F-bombs. It was sort of wild. In the days before the 7-second delay, he completely nuked NBC's broadcast in that moment. But no, I mean, you're right. Like he's never been like a super accurate driver of the ball, of the golf ball. He's had stretches where he was just piping it and he was hitting it so far that it didn't matter. And he knew kind of where to miss. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is like now with some other kind of stuff, you know, maybe not quite as sharp as his game, can he get away with being kind of a wild driver the way that he once was? I mean, he's the greatest iron player that ever lived. I think we agree on that. And so, you know, is that still there? Like, we hit some wedges today that I thought were just awesome. I mean, I think it was on 17, so his eighth hole of the day, you know, he played just a beautiful wedge that kind of used the slope and pulled it back towards the pin. And Rory gets up there, you know, right before that and bombs it, you know, 10 yards over the green and stuff. And it showed me the difference in the two of them, I think, where Tiger still kind of knows and understands, like, how to use slopes and exactly how far he's going to hit his wedges. And Rory's still kind of completely guessing about, you know, where is this ball going to end up and making bogeys on from the fairway with wedge in his hand.
And we welcome into the clubhouse Hank Haney. You guys all know him. He has a show Monday through Saturday, 10 to 12 Eastern on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, the Hank Haney Golf Show. And Hank, I know you're a popular guy right now. People, of course, reaching out because there's an old pupil of yours that is having a little bit of success again out on the PGA Tour. What are your thoughts, you know, through these starts, the good and the bad, that we've seen thus far from Tiger Woods?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about how Tiger's doing. You know, when I first saw his swing that he posted in October on Twitter, I immediately said that's a swing that he can win with. I thought it just looked a lot better. I thought he would definitely be able to get back to hitting some shots like he had hit when he was so dominant in the game of golf, working the ball left to right, right to left, high and low. And I think we've seen some of that. He's had some nice finishes. I mean, obviously the last 2 weeks finishing second and then fifth are good steps in the right direction. I feel pretty good about where Tiger is. A lot of my enthusiasm was based on the fact that, you know, I feel like you never lose that experience you had. And you know, I don't think you lose the putting ability. And his short game has been better. So that problem was kind of checked off the list. And I think the only one that's really left is the driving. I mean, I think that's the question right now.
Yeah, Hank, I wanted to touch on the driving here in a minute, but I had a chance to chat with you. It was probably 6-7 months ago. And, you know, this was back when everybody was questioning what we were going to see from Tiger. You know, are we ever going to see a guy return? Are we going to see him able to swing with any speed at all? And you were very much of the group that said, in between his ears, he's still got that. And you just talked about the experience a little bit. How important is that for Tiger, not just to get through this season in 2018, but to remember those memories of all the PGA Tour wins and major wins as he gets in these moments, the Valspar, and gets in these moments at Bay Hill? Because, you know, that's something that a lot of people can't lean on, is the experience of winning and dominating this sport, which is so hard to do.
Right. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean much if you're 168th in strokes gained, you know, tee to green or approach shots to the green or whatever he was you know, a couple years ago. I mean, he was just horrific in almost every statistical category, dead last in scrambling. I mean, you know, all the experience in the world is going to do you a no good whatsoever. But when you're hitting the ball like he is now, and you're in decent shape in these categories. I mean, he's 14th in approach to the green and 7th around the green and 14th in putting. Well, now it's a little different ball game. So when people were talking about how Tiger's lost his edge, I said, you know, they act like, you know, he just used to hit it all over the place and intimidate everybody. But the reality of it is, Shane, is that he had such great statistics. I mean, he dominated every important statistical category, and he was so much better than everybody else. You know, now you couple that with all the experience, then you've really got something. But one of them without the other isn't going to do you much good. But with him hitting the ball like he is now, I feel like, yeah, it's gonna you know, mean a lot. That experience is so incredibly important. And, you know, Tiger hasn't forgot how to win. You know, he just needs to keep getting his ball striking down. And, you know, I feel like if he has a chance to win, I feel like, you know, things will kick in. Now, you know, I know he didn't finish good at Bay Hill, but, you know, in all honesty, I mean, he wasn't going to win that tournament.
Right.
I mean, even if he buried the last three holes, he wasn't going to beat Rory McIlroy, so.
It was interesting. I mean, you're mentioning Tiger in his prime, and he dominated every category. In the week that he was trying to win at Bay Hill, it was Rory who was dominating every category. Rory found something in his short game. Tiger's short game, I think, has been as impressive as anything we've seen all season, no matter who you're talking about, the Justin Thomases, the Rorys, Dustin Johnsons. Tiger's ability to pitch the ball close from really difficult spots, and his putting inside of 10 feet has been really, really remarkable. Are you surprised at how quick he's found it around the greens?
Well, I mean, from when he was yipping chip shots and pitch shots, yeah, I mean, it wasn't looking good. But having said that, I mean, you know, he had a pretty big event that happened in his life. I mean, you know, when you go to rehab, and, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about this, but
right.
It's just, you know, it's part of why I was so enthusiastic about how I thought Tiger would do. You know, when you get arrested and you've got five different drugs in your system, you're just not having a bad night. I mean, you're in a bad way, and you got a bad problem. And, you know, now he's clear, he's clean. You could just look at him. You can see his face. You can see, you know, how much he's enjoying playing golf. You can see how clear he looks. And, you know, now he's a different guy. And, you know, it's amazing what that's done for his game and his enthusiasm and I think his short game as well.
Well, and you, now we're going to speak a little on the bad. You famously call it the big miss. I mean, that's what the book is.
Yeah.
It's about Tiger Woods. And the fact that in your book, and something I found very interesting that you wrote, is, you know, throughout his career, throughout his domination, when he was best in the world, when he was winning four majors in a row, this was a guy that never was comfortable driving the golf ball. We always would see it on the first tee. You know, you'd see the big snap hook at Augusta. We saw him fan one right, you know, right in his prime as he went on to win that year. And we saw on 16 tee, after 3 days of missing it well right there at the par five and getting away with it, when he needs to make an eagle and birdie at worst, we saw for just the second time all week a player hit it out of bounds left. This is after his out of bounds ball in his opening round went right with the 3-wood. This still seems to be an issue as he's missing it both ways off the tee. Can he compete and actually win driving the golf ball the way he is right now?
Well, it depends what course he plays, whether he can win. I mean, if you play at Innisbrook and you play at Bay Hill and you have an opportunity to play around those issues, then, yeah, you probably can. But if you play at Augusta and you can't iron it off the tee, I mean, when they mow the fairways back from the green to the tee, you're not running any two irons out there, you know, 75 yards down the fairway when it hits. You got to wood it. You got to hit woods there. I mean, you're going to hit a few 3-woods, you know, maybe five or six of those, but that's about it. You're hitting woods on every tee shot at Augusta. That makes it tough. You know, he had those two out of bounds balls. I mean, those are two penalty shots. I mean, you hit it out of bounds, it's a stroke and distance penalty. It's a two shot penalty. But he also had three other penalty shots in my book, because when you have to chip out sideways, that's a penalty shot.
Right.
I mean, it costs you a shot. So seven penalty shots in a tournament, you can't compete. There's no way. Now you look at, I mean, he lost to Rory by eight, but he had seven penalty shots and won three putt. So, I mean, you can coulda, woulda, shoulda. He's got to clean that up. If he doesn't, then it's going to be tough for most of Tiger's career. Even when I helped him, he did not drive it in the fairway as much as people would have liked to have seen. But if you looked at his strokes gained off the tee, for the years I helped him, he was 31st, 4th, 3rd, 8th, 15th, and 41st in strokes gained off the tee. That's not bad.
Right.
Okay. That's not bad at all. Because what he didn't do is, to your point, is he didn't miss it both ways, and he didn't take penalty strokes. But if we go from 2010 on, and, he's had, obviously, injuries and everything else, but he's driven it horrifically. I mean, 145th, 153rd, 127th, 148th this year in strokes gained off the tee. That's too much to give away. Yeah, I said before Bay Hill started, what he needs to do is he needs to not hit in the water and keep it out of the houses. And if he does that, I think he can win the tournament. That's what my prediction was before, but he couldn't do it. He took seven penalty strokes. So that's the one part he's going to have to clean up. But when you look at the history, and the history is from 2010 up until this point, and I know he's missed a lot of that time. So that's the variable that you got to factor in there as well. But if you just look at the numbers from 2010. To 2018 and where we are today, he's taken way too many penalty strokes with his tee balls.
Are you hiring, posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? Well, ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for. It identifies the people with the right experience, and it invites them to apply to your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, let's get back to the pod. We welcome back into the clubhouse. It is a tradition unlike any other, probably not the most famous one of the week, but Scott Van Pelt joins us, of course. He'll be a big part of the ESPN coverage here at the Masters this week. And I wanted to ask, first and foremost, give us your reaction of your first walk around Augusta National this year compared to years past.
It's the same as every year, Shane. It's just, I say this with total sincerity. I mean, I realize we're cynical people in cynical times, but I get reflective. I get thankful. I just walk around and I think I'm back at this place. I was just talking to Marty Smith, my colleague, who's new here. He's like, this place ain't even real, man. I said, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to describe unless you've been here before. But it's the same deal. I'm amazed that I get to spend my week here. It's my favorite week of the year. And this year, given all that's in play, there's a sort of a heightened sense of anticipation. You don't often hear people roar for someone walking out onto the practice range on a Monday. That happened yesterday when Tiger came out there. People are so fired up that he's here. It's hard to even describe.
Well, the main point of every Masters combo pre-tournament this week especially is, of course, going to be Tiger Woods. I mean, his first start since 15, second in his last five years at Augusta National. We've seen plenty of positive signs, I think more than most people that pay attention to the sport expected to see this early. So I ask you, Scott Van Pelt, should we be expecting what so many people are hoping to see this week from a 42-year-old that has just a few starts, or should we maybe scale it back a little bit considering the moment?
Oh, no one's good at that. Who's good at tempering expectation, right? I mean, who on the night before Christmas goes, man, I hope I get a cookbook. I mean,
just bring the socks.
Why temper expectations? I think that, and you know this as well as anybody, the club to watch is the driver. Can he lean on it? Can he trust it? Because you can't hide from it out here. You have to have it as a not just a club you can use, but a club that you want to use. Think about when he was destroying this golf course. He just overpowered it. Well, you can't overpower Augusta National in 2018 with driving irons and three woods. And the driver's the wild card. Because of that swing speed that he's got as high as he's got it, he's got enough length to get it out there. And he's shown over the years he's comfortable, you know, coming into greens with more club than other guys. But, you know, if you're trying to come in with, you know, fives and six irons and John Rahm and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas and guys like that are coming in with, you know, wedge through eight, well, that's not a fair fight. So I'm just excited that he's here the same way everybody else is. But I don't think that you can believe the driver enough to be saying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, hey, he's going to be the guy leading come Thursday. I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I feel like I've been preaching this year despite the finishes. His short game has been as good as maybe it has ever been, which is hard to say. I mean, he's been unbelievable around the greens, not just with the putting. I mean, the pitching and the short game shots we've seen have been really, you know, better than anybody on tour, which for a 42-year-old is pretty impressive. But again, got to get the ball in play. Even with short rough, you have to get the ball in play. So it'll be fun to watch the first couple of days. Is he going to pull driver, you know, on more than four or five holes? We'll see. But like you said, if you're hitting six iron into these greens and Justin Thomas has wedge, it's going to be a completely different ball game. I do want to ask about Tiger. I mean, you followed Tiger since you turned professional. You've done one-on-ones with him. I mean, you're as close to him as any media member, if I could say that. I mean, you're Manute Bowl level, arm's length away from him. But could a moment get to this guy at this point? Is there a chance that a moment could get to him like the Masters, or do you think he's as fired up as we are to see him play?
I think the thing that people largely forgot about him, even when he was at superhuman level, is that the word after super is human, and he's human. And sure, he gets nervous, he gets emotional, and being in the fight and being in the middle of the arena, as they say, is not a place he's spent a ton of time lately. So it would be unrealistic to think he's going to come out here and stripe it down every fairway with his driver. It would be unrealistic to think he'd be standing on those tees feeling totally unmoved by the moment and the circumstance. I mean, he's going to feel this, sure. But I also think that when he does feel it, he'll remember what it felt like to be the guy standing in the spot where everybody in the world was expecting him to deliver, and then he did. So I remember telling David Duvall years ago when he kind of lost it a little bit after he was number one in the world, and he said, you know, I don't know, standing over the ball, I'm not confident. I said, David, every person that's ever stood over the golf ball in his or her life knows what that feels like. But you got to remember one thing. You know what it feels like to stand over the golf ball and know you're the number one player in the world. How many people know what that feels like? And Tiger's one of those people. He knows what that feels like. He's got that frame of reference. And that'll be the fascinating battle, you know, the battle between the guy that remembers what it was like to be the king of the world and the guy that hadn't been the king of the world for the last little bit.
So say he, and I'm not going to say this week. I mean, I know we're talking Masters, but just say, for instance, he wins a major championship this year, which, again, I think a lot of us didn't even think he'd be playing in majors, maybe going forward at this point. Would you rank it up there in his top two, three, four accomplishments of his career? I mean, he's got the cut streak. He's got the Tiger Slam. This has to rank up there, considering what we've seen from him as one of the most impressive things, if he's able to get himself in contention this week and, for goodness sakes, walk away with a green jacket.
Yes, 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 yes. And I think in many ways, and I've told him this, I think this will be ultimately the most interesting act of the play. Because think about this, Shane. When he was Superman and he was doing what he was doing, none of us could relate to that. No one could. But as a 40-something dad with a bald spot who's been through it, who's made some mistakes, who's learned some hard lessons, we can relate to that. We've had troubles. We've all struggled. The idea of getting up off the deck and being that guy again after so many people thought he never could be, without question, that would be right there with whatever else he did. Of course, 97, to me, always will stand alone because it was just this thunderbolt from the golfing gods. Like, he's here. Get ready. Get used to it. This isn't going to change for a while. So 97 for me will always be the thing. But after that, to be the twice that age with the scars all over your body and the emotional scar tissue to win again. And by the way, he's going to win again, whether it's a major or something else, he's going to win again.
Right.
yes, that will be right there on the very, very short list of the great accomplishments of his, of a life that has more accomplishments than just about anybody.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Well, hope you guys enjoyed that. We will be back next week with more here at the clubhouse as we fast approach the U.S. Open. It's less than 2 weeks away. That is crazy to think. Golly, I need to do a little bit more homework. Something you can do while you're hanging out is check out teeoff.com by the PGA Tour. There is no booking fees at all. No booking fees. Every golf course, every tee time. And if you're a valued listener here of the clubhouse, you get to save an additional 25% on all deal times with a single-use promo code TEEOFFBACON. 25% off at teeoff.com. It is a great website with a ton of tee times in whatever area you're in the United States. So check that out. And a reminder to go to ogo.com. Summer is here, and a lot of things go with summer. The sun, the beach, camp, refreshing cold drinks. I need a couple more of those this week, I think. And vacation. Vacation means travel. And what do? You got to switch to an Ogio bag. That's what you do. It might not help you pack better, but it will make you travel better. Trust me. Special listeners of the clubhouse here celebrate back to summer by saving 25% on all travel bags on ogo.com with the promo code clubhouse. Ogio, the world's best bags. All righty. Check out the U.S. Women's Open coverage over the weekend. Joe Buck and Paul Azinger jump in with Julie Inkster, and they'll take you through the weekend. I'll be around for the trophy ceremony, hopefully on Sunday evening. We have a sectional show Monday on FS1, Monday evening, to recap who qualified for the U.S. Open. There's a lot of big names trying to get in, include Adam Scott. So check that out on FS1 Monday evening. And then we get going with the Curtis Cup on Friday. And then I get 2 hours of sleep on Monday. And then we roll through the U.S. Open Tuesday to Sunday. And then I will actually sleep, I think, Monday through Wednesday. That's kind of what it's scheduled. I'm going to sleep all three of those days. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope you guys have enjoyed the coverage so far from Shoal Creek and continue to do so. And we will see you at Quaker Ridge.